you would turn to Proverbs chapter 31, our scripture reading for today. Psalms, Proverbs 31. Starting with verse 26. And Proverbs 31 is really talking about women, most of it. It says this in verse 26. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom. Y'all reading together? I think y'all all went silent. That's okay. We'll read it all together, okay? And, you know, some people say, well, I don't want to shout. That's up to you, whatever. But, you know, just get it in your heart. Verse 26, it says, y'all ready? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Let's read verse 32. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We can read 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. A woman who fears the Lord. Great things. Happy Mother's Day or Happy Ladies' Day to all ladies. But we do want to welcome everyone here this morning, and we just pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon your heart and upon your soul this morning. If you would take your Bibles, let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said earlier, happy Mother's Day. I tell you, it's a day that has been set aside to celebrate not just biological mothers, but all women who nurture, guide, and love like a mother. This includes grandmothers, stepmothers, aunts, and anyone who has filled the role of a mother figure in your life and in my life. I also acknowledge that the many women who have chosen different paths, those who have experienced loss or infertility, and those who struggle with the pressure and expectations of motherhood. This day is a time for gratitude, healing, and recognition for the invaluable contributions of all women. Amen. So thank you, mothers. Thank you, ladies, for all that you have done for this church, for your families, for this community, for this area, for all that you have done. Celebration of motherhood and womanhood. Thank you. You know, yesterday, because they'll come to you or whatever, on the job. And, all the mothers or ladies, I just tried to say, hey, happy Mother's Day, because I knew it was today. And so, there was a few that I said, happy Mother's Day. And they would say, well, I'm not a mother as far as having birthed any children. But they'll tell me, I do have some dogs and I have some cats that I love, and I think I'm their mother. And I said, well, that'll do. And so even, there's a kind of by the Miller's farm home, in that subdivision, there's some ladies, they're nuns. And they're 90s and hundreds. I mean, they are just old. And so their box is at the road. So I just get down and bring it to their door for them, and because they can't really get out. And so they just happen chance, one of them is at the door, you know, ready. And I said, ma'am, I said, I just want to tell you, Happy Mother's Day. And I said, I know, you know, that maybe you're not a mother. And she stopped, but she said, I've been a mother to many, many people. And I said, oh, I said, thank you for what you've done. You know, being a mother and helping and nurturing. And so you see, it's not so much just giving birth that gets you in that category, but it's also the many, many people in your lives that have nurtured you, that have helped you, that have given you advice, you know, sometimes when you don't want it, but you still get it. You know, it's like a mother can give you advice even if you want it or not, you know. But, you know, thank you for, because, you know, probably every one of us, you know, have people that have touched our ladies, that have touched your heart and touched our lives. And so we do want to give you thanks and praise and honor for all that you have done. You know, I was walking up to a house yesterday and got out, and it's almost at the end of the route, and walking, and the lady sitting on the porch. Every day she sits on her porch, probably late 70s, early 80s. Every day she has her chair. And as I got out the truck, and it's a span probably from here to the middle of the main street that I have to walk. Right when I got out, I'm bringing the mail, and she had quite a bit of mail. She hollers, you have my card? And I'm looking, I knew. I said, what, ma'am? She said, you have my card? I said, no, ma'am. She said, I'm waiting for my card from my son for Mother's Day. He said he mailed it Monday. I said, oh. I said, I'm sorry, but I don't have it today. I said, where is he? Where is it coming from? Because I don't know. She said, well, I don't remember the name of the prison. I said, is it in Vermilion Parish? She said, no, it's not here. It's somewhere else. And I'm thinking in, you know, Angola or whatever, you know, you never know. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't have it. And you can see her face dropped. I mean, she was happy, smiling. But when I finally got to that place of saying, ma'am, I don't have it, and I'm so sorry, her face just dropped. I said, well, ma'am, I said, it might come Monday. I'm trying to give hope. What can I do? I sure don't want to leave without giving a little bit of hope, huh? I said, but ma'am, I said, you have a happy Mother's Day. You see, sometimes we don't realize the struggle that mothers or women go through sometimes, especially even being a single mother. You know, I come from, my mom and dad were divorced when I was 10, and I tell you, I know it was hard on my mother. It was hard. And you know, people know that, you know. It was hard with, they were together. I mean, you know, just struggling. But you see, struggles happen. But, you know, ladies, thank you for being persistent. Thank you for not giving up. You know, mothers or ladies, the world needs you. I know we laughed at that quote, and I want to say it again. We kind of laughed about it, and it is funny, you know, whatever. But God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. You know, and I know, you know, he's everywhere. The Spirit of God moves. But, you know, to show that tenderness, loving care towards your children or to someone else's children, you know, because you're the nurturer and the helper and the care, because that's what God has put in you. Thank you for being that way. Don't forget the vision. Don't get caught up in raising your children that you forget to take the time to love them, to help them, to be with them. And I know children can be rough. We've gone through it. You know, it can be rough times, but, you know, but the children need you. The husband needs you. The family needs you. You know, just keep on going. Don't give up. Don't give up. I want you to turn, if you would, to Judges chapter 4. Don't give up. Judges chapter, page 424. Celebration, my Lord. Look at, this is Deborah, and Deborah's very, I mean, God has, there's two different Deborahs. This is the different one. This is the one that God used. She was a prophetess. That means she was a lady that prophesied. She was a lady that prophesied, thus saith the Lord. And she was a judge. Don't you think God can call women? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. There's a certain sect in Christianity that says no women can preach from the pulpit, but you can teach the children in the back. How ridiculous is that? I mean, we want all, okay? But, you know, she was called to be a prophetess. As far as prophesying, thus saith the Lord for the children of Israel. Now look how God used this lady. My Lord, look at verse, starting with verse 6. It says this, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinom, out of Kadesh, Naphtaliah, and said unto him. Now this is her speaking from the Spirit of the Lord. The rest of this verse. Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw towards Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men of the children of Naphtaliah and of the children of Zebulun. Now, the children of Israel, get the picture of this, were like slaves to this people for 20-something years or so. They were slaves. They would work the fields. They would do the things that need to be done. They would hold it over them. They lord it over them. This is God's people. God's people under submission to another government. And you know, a lot of that comes with disobedience. You know? That's why it's so important for us to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Not brush it off. When God speaks and you know on the inside, you might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I don't know when God, when God speaks, welcome to the board here. But I tell you what, you pray and you say, Lord, give me clarity. Let me know your voice, Lord God Almighty. You said your sheep know your voice. I claim your scripture that I know your voice when you speak to me. Okay? And so they were in bondage to these people. This is Deborah. And she said, and I will draw unto you to the river of Kadesh Caesarea, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes, and I will deliver him into your hand. Wow. And Barak said unto her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. Such a sad statement. Here he's having a prophet, Deborah, telling him, go and kill and take back what God has given us. And he looks to her and he says, but if you don't come with me, I'm not going. Even though Deborah prophesied to him, go! What that's telling me is that he's trying to lean on the arm of mankind. instead of leaning on the arm of God. See, we got to be careful. She was a prophet that heard from the Lord and prophesied, telling him, go and fight. God will give you the victory. Israel will win. He'll show you how to do it. And he comes back, but if you don't come with me, I'm not going. My Lord, what do we trust in? The arm of man or the arm of God? My Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with having help. We need help. But I tell you what, we trust and we lean on the arm of God more than the arm of man. And here we pick it up. Look at verse 9. And she said, I will surely go with you. Notwithstanding, the journey that you take shall not be for your honor. For the Lord shall sell Caesarea into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak called Zebulun, Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Look, go down to verse, we're going to stop, miss him. Go down to verse 14. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this day in which the Lord has delivered Caesarea into your hand, is not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Caesarea. That means he, by supernaturally, God intervened. And all the chariots of the enemy and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Caesarea lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. Now, yeah, let's talk. Yeah, they were coming after. How can? That's like Cuba coming after America. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind. You know, they have nothing. You know, they have a little bit, but nothing. You know, America is still the powerhouse of the world. It really is, by God's grace. Thank you, Lord. But as some little small non-essential country coming after them, that's what Israel was going after, going against a country or a people that had thousands upon thousands of armed chariots. And Israel had basically nothing. But you see, when God said it's time for them to fall, it's time for them to fall. You see, and when the prophet told him, Barak, go, and he will give it into your hand, that's when we rely upon the Spirit of God to do it. He discomfited them. That means a supernatural thing happened when they got together, and they came with forces against each other. It doesn't say exactly, but it says something happened. Why God didn't tell us, I don't know. But something supernatural happened to the enemies of God. You see? All because you had one lady named Deborah that heard from God, that God called into ministry to be a prophet. You see? What is God calling on? What's God's calling on your life? Just don't say, well, I'm just a little old lady over here, or a little lady here, nothing. My Lord, we don't know what God wants to do in your heart and in your life. Let's keep on reading. And Barak, verse 16. And Barak pursued after the chariots and after the hosts unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the hosts of Caesarea fell upon the edge of the sword. Look, and there was not a man left. You know, we could say it this way. Not one shot was fired. I know they didn't have guns. But not one sword was taken out of its sheath from Israel. Something happened with this army that when they got to them, after they chased them, they all fell on their own swords or their neighbor's sword and died. That's what God can do to the enemy of your soul. That's what God can do to the enemy of your children. That's what God can do to the enemy of your husband. My Lord. Ooh. As we trust him, trust in the Lord with all thine might. Trust in him. Trust in him that he will take care of those things that are coming against us as Christians. That God will miraculously walk in and change the powers that be that are trying to bring destruction, death, hell, and the grave upon your life and upon your family. That's the kind of God we serve. And look, he can use anyone he wants to use. He does the calling and he anoints the calling. Man doesn't call. Man has tried to call. Look what happened. Was it Saul? Look what they ended up. The king, the first king, Saul, was not supposed to be Saul, people. It was supposed to be David. A man after God's own heart. We know what it is as a country to have the wicked in power. Look at verse 17. Howbeit, Caesarea fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael. Now, this is another lady. This is the king of this country, the other country. This is the king. This is the guy in charge. He fled on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Habor, the Kenite. And there was a peace between Jabin and the king of Hazor, the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Caesarea and said unto him, turn in, my Lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray you, a little water to drink. I am so thirsty. She opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered it. Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent. And it shall be when any man does come and inquire of you and say, is there any man here that you shall not that you shall say no? He wanted her to lie. And this, the armies of God were coming after against him. This is the only one that was yet still alive. Look, kill everything in your life that does not please God. Because if you don't, it will rise up and it will bite you. Kill everything that's the enemy of your soul. And I'm not talking about human beings. We don't fight against human beings, okay? God never said to come against human beings. He said come against the spirit that is behind those human beings. Anything that is trying to destroy you from the inside, no matter what it is, bring it under the submission and the power of the Holy Ghost. You might say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? You go to him. And you say, Lord, I bow myself before you. Lord, I can't conquer this thing. But God, I know because you are King and you are Lord. And because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, that I can have victory in every area of my life. Not just one area, but every area, no matter what it is, that God, the Holy Spirit, can come in and bring life and liberty and help in our time of need. He's the one that wants to entangle our hands and our feet spiritually so we can be free to worship. I mean, as that last song played, I don't know how people cannot raise their hands. I don't know. Now, unless, you know, I'm not talking about anything physical, but just bowing before him. Unless there's cobwebs all over. I don't know. But you're looking at a God that will never turn you away. You're looking at a God that says, come. Come and I'll help you. Come. Bow before me. Give me your situation. My God. I've never seen a God like him. I mean, you know, that wants everything that's bad in us to make it right and good. Just give it to him. Let him carry the load. And it makes your load a whole lot lighter. Let him carry those things, ladies, that bother you throughout the day. Let him carry those things that just are you burdened with on the inside, that just it's hard. Let him carry those things. Give it to him. You might say, well, Pastor, I give it to him and it seems like I take it back. Keep giving it to him. Keep giving it to him, no matter what. And you will see one day you'll wake up and you'll say, oh, I'm free. Free. Free in the mind, free in the heart, free in the spirit, and just free. Letting God move upon that area. God does not want his children entangled by evil or by sin or anything like that. God wants his people free. That's why Jesus paid the price. Not for us to be 50% free or 75% free or 90% free or 99.999 free, but 100% free in him. You might say, well, will that ever happen? We are on the progression sanctification. It, God just keeps working in us. When we get over something, it seems like he zones in on something else. And we got to work on that. Okay, thank you, Lord. Remember this, you can't do it. I can't do it. He can do it. All he asks us to do is to be submissive to his will. Yes, Lord. And he comes in surgically and takes and does what needs to be done in our hearts, ladies and men, gentlemen, and works in us and moves upon our hearts and lives. My Lord, what a God we serve. Not the end of the story, but then look at verse 21. Then Jael, Herbert's wife, took a nail. Remember that he was trying, he said, he told the Jael, please just stand at the door when the men come. Just tell them that I'm not here. Then Jael, Herber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. You might say, well, that was horrible. Well, let me tell you something. When you have this army trying to destroy the children of Israel, you have two ladies that were fed up. Deborah, a prophet, and Jael was just a wife, but she had her tent in the right place. God knew where to send this leader. She took that nail and she put a veil over him like he asked, gave him a little milk to drink, and said, I'm going to get him. She went up to him softly. He was so tired, so drained, he didn't even know she was there, basically. She took that nail and probably in the temple, got it and hammered it in. Boom. Then he fell over and she nailed it to the floor. You know what that means? She made it go all the way through. She wanted to make sure this guy that had tortured the children of Israel was out. Kill the enemies of your soul. Don't let them be resurrected. Oh, my Lord. People, we got to handle some things. We cannot be light with evil and sin and even in our own lives. We have to be persistent. We have to be determined, people, that we fight the battle well and do what is right. Look at this. And behold, Barak pursued Sisera. Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. Temples, it says. She had one nail, it seems like, and it went through both temples, right through. I don't know how long it was. I don't know how big his head was. But I tell you what, she was fed up. Mothers, your children need you. And not need you just physically. That's important. They need you. They need you. And even when they get out the house, they still need you. They need your prayers. They need you to stand in with them. They need for you to lift them up before the throne room on a constant basis. And I know you're saying, Pastor, I don't have time to do. Hey, take some time to go before the throne room of God for your children and your husband and your people you know that need God to move. Take some time, let me tell you. Because God needs your prayers as far as for the will of God to be done. That's why it says, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want God's will to be done in this church as it is in heaven. Not my will, not your will, but God's will be done in this church and in your family and in your home and in your business and on your jobs. God's will to be done. That's what we need. We need a God that will move upon us like never before. We need to feel the presence of God. We need to know that God is alive and well and sitting upon his throne and is in charge. You know, you have people that are not in church, not in this church too, because they're fearful. They're afraid about everything. I mean, scared. You talk to them and they're scared about the government. They're scared about the government going under. They're scared that their dollar won't be worth much. They're scared about everything. They're scared when they walk in the stores. They're scared to drive in their cars. They're scared. Why? Yes, I know things may not look great, but God has blessed us beyond measure. Get out there and live your life. Go to your sons and your daughters, ball games and all that stuff. Show them how much you care. And give them the paddle every once in a while to show them who's in charge. We have some great kids. You do. You know, these two ladies did something. Not those men. The army of God didn't kill any of those men. God discomfited them, and they all died by their own swords. They took them out. They committed suicide, if you want to say it that way. They took out their swords, and they just laid on and would fall. You have to be in a desperate, you know there's no hope. None. But it was two ladies that took care of that guy, telling him to go, Rock to go, and Deborah did that, and Joel came in and put a nail through his skull. That's some tough ladies. See, ladies, you need to be tough a little bit. I know, you know, we often think of ladies being soft, and I say soft just in nature, as men are the stronger vessel, it seems like. You know, that's what God says. But you know, sometimes you need to take on the enemy sometimes. Make sure God is with you, though. And you come against that enemy that is coming against your family. And let God take care of the rest. Let God. Ladies, keep giving. Keep having courage. Give leadership to your children and family. Ladies, keep having faith in your God. Keep nurturing your children and your family. Keep training them and keep loving them. I know some of you, just like myself, you know, Mother's Day is here today, and we're left with no mother physically in our lives, huh? You know, this morning I got up thinking about it, and I just said, wow, it's been 2 years, and probably you have many more, you know, and some of your mothers are still alive. Treasure them. You might say, well, it's hard to be with them. Just treasure them. That doesn't mean that God didn't say you had to obey them, you know, you're out of the home. But just treasure them. But I know, just like myself, our mothers are not with us anymore. And that's a hard situation, especially on Mother's Day or when their funeral comes around, or their birthdays. But today's Mother's Day. And, you know, I was thinking about my mom, and I thought, wow, I went back and I listened to, she was at East Ridge the last 6-7 years of her life. And she sang, you know, that song, You Are My Sunshine. And then she sang in French some songs, and just listening, you know, to that, bringing back memories. You know, I know my mom, the last couple of years of her life, you know, Andrew would go pick her up for church and bring her here for church. Then she'd come back home with us and stay at our home for most of the afternoon till supper time, and then we'd bring her back. And it just on those afternoons, we'd play a card game. We'd play Rummy. Anybody knows what that is? Yeah, the older people know that. Yeah, that's okay. Rummy and ball, we would play, you know, myself, her, sometimes Andrew, sometimes Joey, sometimes Jess, and whatever, you know. And we just kept score. I have the scores of, pages of scores. You know, you put the names and you draw the lines. You know, we're going to know who won and who lost, you know. And so we had good times. So remember the good times you've had with your mom. We even had a trophy. If you're from Kaplan, you might remember this guy, Piccoli. Anybody remember? Well, we had a trophy. I don't know. Is it Jess? Was it your trophy? I don't know whose it was. No, she said, I don't know. One of our kids had a trophy, and the arm the arm broke off, y'all. And so we started playing, and so we said, we have to have some medal, something, you know. Whoever won brought it to their room, whatever, and it stayed there the whole week. Well, we had this one trophy, and so the arm broke. And so Piccoli, if you knew him from Kaplan, you know, his arm was messed up on one side. And so that's why we called it Piccoli, not to make fun, but just to have that name towards that. And so we had a great times of playing. And, you know, you remember those things, and probably you remembering, if your mother has passed away, that maybe the many times she cooked for you, you know, sold things for you, did whatever, you know, whatever you and her did, you know. I remember that one of the last times before she died that day, about a week before I walked, I'd go see her every morning that I worked, because it was right there. So I'd go about 10, 15, 20 minutes, walk in, and I walked in. I was with my uniform, go and sit down, and she looked at me, and she said, "Ooh." The uniform thing. Oh, she said, I wish I could sew it, you know, that. Oh, I said, Mom, don't worry about it. Because she wanted to make sure it was right, you know. And so you have these stories of what God has done. And, you know, I debate on sharing this, but I think I will. I had a dream about my mother. You know, I struggled. Not because of where she's at. I know she's in heaven. But you know, you don't realize what you have sometimes till it's gone. You know, you kind of take for granted. You know, you just, you know, whatever. You live life. You know. And so, on November the 12th, you know, sometime before that, sometimes. Maybe early morning, I just wake up and there was tears. I was just thinking of her, you know. It's like, and I'd say, Lord, heal my heart. You know, not that, you know, I don't want to, just heal, Lord. And I remember the few days before my dream, just one morning, and I said, oh, Lord, that November the 12th, you know, had a dream about her. And I dreamed that Jelaine and I, Malu, that's what they call her, Malu, Mom. We were all at like a big park thing. Just a big, huge area. And we were sitting in our lawn chairs. It was Jelaine, then me. And then my mom was here facing like this. And we were just looking out, and there were kids all over the place. All over the place. And they were just playing ball and play, and it wasn't like a park that you have on Earth. It was beautiful. beautiful. And these kids were just running. And I saw my sister that had passed, that has passed away. You know, my sister was very overweight, could not run, could barely walk, really. Her breathing was not well. And so she was just running. And the odd, she was slim and running. And she was hitting this ball, and she'd hit it, and it would just fly like a golf ball. And then she'd run, and she'd go to it and hit it back this way. And Jelaine and I, you know, just, I'd say, man, look at Ann. Look at that. Not I know I told you my mom was here, but it's like there was no recognition at the moment. Then all of a sudden that kind of stopped, and I turned, and she was just sitting in her chair. And there was an aura just around her. I said, Mom, where have you been? It's been like, you know, a year or whatever, year and something, whatever, little week. I said, where have you been? We've been looking for you. And she just looked at me and smiled. Just kept smiling. And then, and I got up, and I have to say, from that day forward, healed. Just, it's like God did something. See, people, mothers mean a lot, you know. And sometimes we don't realize till maybe after they're gone. So I want to encourage you today. You have your mother, is still alive. Go call her. Visit her. Do both. Treasure her. Probably sometime today, I'll probably go to the cemetery. I know that's where the body's at. That's, you know, I don't go pray to her. You don't pray to people, you know. I know people kind of, we don't say prayers. She's in heaven. Not trying to get her out of purgatory or nothing like that. Just a remembering. And I know sometimes we remember and it's kind of like, oh, you know, the things. Never forget what she's been to you. As your mother, who she is, or a grandmother to your children, what God has done in their lives. God is the healer. Enjoy where you are now in your family. Mom raising children, enjoy it. Lady, no children of your own, just enjoy. Help others with children. I mean, you know, whatever. Whatever state you're in. Look, we've all made mistakes. You're not going to be the perfect mother. But you have a perfect God that can help you. Rely upon Him. You've done very well so far. You know, for me, I give you all an A. There's around the board, you get an A. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've said or did. Hey, look, that's under the blood. You go on and you mend those fences and you do from this day forward teaching them the things of God and helping them to grow as mature Christians in the Lord, knowing Him. Ladies, thank you for all you've done to help. To make me a great pastor and the help that you have given here. There are a lot of promises that God gives. He said, and especially for moms and women, and I'll just run this down this time. He said, He will be with you. Remember that. He will guide you. He will always work for you. He will accomplish His purposes for you. He will provide all that you need. He is always faithful. He gives us grace in time of need. He gives grace to the humble. He will work in the hearts of your children. Say amen about that one. Don't worry about what's going on. You keep praying and you let God work. He will hear, oh my Lord, your prayers. He's ever attentive to the prayers of His people. Let God be God and do. One last scripture, Ephesians 5:16. Let's turn to that. Well, you don't have to. If you want to, you can. If you don't worry about it. I'll just read it. Galatians, Ephesians 5. It says this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This verse, or in you really another Bible says this, instead of redeeming the time, it says making the most of your time because the days are evil. This verse encourages believers to be mindful of how they spend their time and to use it wisely, understanding the limited nature of earthly life and the importance of prioritizing God's will, not wasting it and using it wrongly, but using it for God's purposes, prioritizing activities that are pleasing to God and to avoid those that are not. Amen. God is in the business of redeeming time for you ladies. He's going to redeem that time. The time that was messed up, he's going to help you redeem it. Ooh, my Lord. You might say, well, how he does that? He does it different for every one of us. The mistakes you've made, he can redeem those things. The mistakes you've made with your sons, he can redeem those things. The mistakes you made with your daughters, he can redeem those things. Only he can do it. The mistakes you've made with your husbands or your spouse, he can redeem that. The mistakes you've made maybe with your mother or your father or whatever it is, he can redeem because he is in the redeeming business. Redeeming that time that the devil wants to use it for evil and bring destruction, God can come back and bring life to that situation. Redeeming that time. Amen. Ladies, everyone, you can stand. Amen. I pray all again that you have a great day today.